I thought that was clever. I don't know.
I know, but I was like, I think that's a little overused.
Here I am going, you should say, like, we all know it's Joe, but I wanted to be like, hello to Joe. You know, hello.
I'm not saying that.
Now it sounds stupid now that I'm saying it again and I'm hearing it. Like,
okay. So hi, welcome to our mini episodes of Skull Rock Broadcast, where we talk about Joe. Yeah.
Talk about Joe.
Well, okay, let's be a little bit more descriptive. We are going to break down mostly the lyrics of the songs by Joe, spelled D-J-O, which is the musical project of Joe Keery. If you listen to our podcasts on the regular, you know we're big fans. We obviously love the show Stranger Things. We are a Stranger Things podcast first and foremost, but we're huge fans of Joe Keery, and we are huge fans of his music as well. So we have really been enjoying kind of like talking a little bit about the music on the show, and we are super excited because he's actually on tour, right?
Yeah.
He's currently performing in Australia. He has tour dates in the U.S. starting in April, right after the release of his new album, The Crux, on April 4th. And we are going to get to see him, like, a few times.
Like, we're going to see him a few times, yeah.
Yeah. So we're super excited. And what I kind of wanted to do was, like, make sure I know all of the words to the songs.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I know a lot of the words, but, like, sometimes I was telling you it's hard to, like, it's hard for me to hear what he's saying. And then, like, I never actually learn the lyric because I don't actually know what it says. So
I get fixated learning lyrics. Like, during the pandemic, I made it a point to memorize the first verse of Rapper's Delight. And that's a tough song.
Yeah.
And, like, people were making bread and, like, starting home projects. I was like, no, I need to memorize this. Can't really explain why.
I know. There's, like, certain songs I just, like, want to know exactly what is being said so that I can sing along to every word. And, like, sometimes it happens by accident, but sometimes I do it intentionally. So I feel like a lot of it has happened by accident, but we're just going to be a little bit more intentional about learning the rest of the lyrics, but also, like, talking about the song in general, right?
And we want to kind of make a disclaimer where, like, this is just us. How would you put it into words, Megan? This is just,
like, it's based on
our interpretation.
Yes. Our interpretation, our personal connections to the songs, mm-hmm. how they make us feel. We definitely don't know exactly what Joe was actually thinking, and that's okay. He actually did an interview this past week that was really cool where they kind of asked him some questions about some of
flat
his songs.
Out.
Yeah. And he said that it's
perfect
cool.
Answer.
It's really cool when people talk about the music, try to apply it to themselves and kind of figure out what it's saying. But he thinks that actually saying, telling people what the song is about kind of takes some of the fun out of it. And
it does.
And it was so funny to hear him say that in that interview when we were mm-hmm. already kind of planning on doing this. We're like, that's so perfect. So
yeah, right away, we're like, the stars aligned. And I have to thank you, Megan. Way back in, I believe it was January of 2023. It was right before I was going to meet Joseph Quinn for the first time. You were like, you know, you're a Joe Keery fan, right? You know, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. You're like, have you heard his music? And I was like, really? Megan is the one that introduced me to his music. You were like, check out these songs. You recommended some. And right away I was like, he's got some pipes on him. Like, he's got a beautiful, beautiful voice. And I just love that kind of style of song writing that he does. So huge thanks to you. And then it was just so crazy last year during the winter and spring when a certain song that may be mentioned in today's episode went viral. And it just shows that, you know, it's so funny that as someone who kind of stays away from social media like he does, it's so cool that he was like, yeah, this crazy thing just happened and it gained traction, which I'm so happy about because decide, like he said, he goes, we didn't get a chance to tour it or anything. So it's cool that it got like this second life and so many people discovered it, because not everybody has a Megan in their life, guys. So, you know, it was great. It was great, that really cool way for people to discover his music, and made it probably possible for them to be able to tour this next album. So super cool.
Yeah. And couldn't agree more. I really connected with the side, especially in the beginning, and just to have other people then also be able to hear it and connect with it and become fans of his music was really cool. And also another little disclaimer, like, we're not like musicians. I mean, but I love music and I love listening to it and like the emotions that it makes you feel. So that's kind of where we're coming at this, not from any sort of like technical music production lens. So we're just like, you know, vibes.
Just vibes.
But yeah, also I've listened to him talk about his music quite a bit, but like, I might not necessarily remember like where I heard something. So I just like disclaimer, like sometimes I might like say something, but not necessarily cite a source. So just
Please take everything
we say with a grain of salt, for sure.
It's coming from a place of love.
So the two songs that we picked today, for one is like my favorite song and like everybody's favorite song. So, but then the other one is the one that you kind of like were
first
really drawn to when you first listened to the album. But I think together they actually make sort of a cool like dichotomy.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about End of Beginning, obviously, if you didn't figure that out already. But we want to kind of pair all of our episodes, like a song that he's definitely or currently playing on tour, which even when the new album comes out and he's playing more new songs, he's still going to play End of Beginning. Like, no question. But with also
play Uptown Girl.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Free Bird. We are going to pair the songs with like a less like known or like a song that he's not currently touring now. So just something that we still want to talk about. And so the other song we're going to talk about today is Half-Life, which both of these actually were singles from Decide. Yep. And the Beginning was not released as a single until March of 2024, right after it went viral.
Yep.
But it's funny, Half-Life was released as a single like the week before the album came out in September of 2022.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
We're going to like re-listen as we're not going to play it on
the show. We don't want Joe coming at us.
Yeah. We're going to pause it and re-listen and then like come back and talk about it a little bit. So... all right, so let's start with the first verse.
Okay.
It's beautiful. It's like poetry. I mean,
it's gorgeous.
Just one more tear to cry, one teardrop from my eye. You better save it for the middle of the night when things aren't black and white. So let's talk about that. I mean, it starts very emotional, right?
Like, yeah.
We're talking about crying. I mean...
like save the tears for nighttime, I guess, you know.
Like not being sad, staying in the moment and not like I don't know.
Like don't let your emotions kind of control you. I mean, I really do love the saying like you gotta grow thicker skin, and maybe that was maybe an outlook or advice that he got, like, you know, instead of things just being black and white, like this person's a jerk or this person's awesome. Save it for the night when you have time to think, I guess.
Yeah. And also the just one more tear to cry. It's like, okay, like you got to be done now. Like you're just giving yourself that one more time to cry. Mm-hmm. But then, Stacey, what was your question?
Enter Troubadour? What the hell is a
Troubadour? So do you know what a troubadour is?
No, I'm going to probably feel real stupid in a second.
No, I mean, I don't know what necessarily he's referring to in this song, but like the definition of a troubadour is kind of like a poet, like who would like sing these songs in like, I think maybe France or something like that, like a long time ago. Like it's a historical thing. But this is really funny because all I think about when I hear this is in the show Gilmore Girls, there's a town troubadour And the town troubadour just randomly shows up sometimes in episodes and is this, like, guy who, like, walks around with a guitar and, like, sings songs about stuff.
Really, the twist is Kiri and his bandmates are just huge Gilmore Girls fans.
I mean, he has a lot of sisters, right?
He definitely grew up listening to, watching that.
Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
But, like,
and, like, I thought it was a color, like chartreuse or something. I was like, oh, okay. So, that makes sense.
Maybe he did too, because we'll have to get into that on, like, another episode
when
we talk
about New England energy. Yeah. I don't know.
he like, has a lyric in a song that he, like, thought meant something else, and it actually didn't mean that. So,
that's a spoiler
for a future episode. But, yeah. I think Remember 24 is, like, one of my favorite lines.
Definitely.
And I like how it's, like, someone's telling him to, like, don't you remember when you were 24?
And a lot of people I know have said, like, 24 was when, like, 23, 24 was around the time he got onto the show, and it kind of just changed the entire, like, you know, kind of balance of his life and kind of shifted things and stuff. But I don't know, for me personally, like, 24 was kind of like, you know, right around the time, like, you're done with college, you're kind of becoming an adult, you're kind of finding your sea legs. That's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I connect to this as well. I, like, made a post about it today, actually.
It was
so
sweet.
Like, that time period, like, when you are 24, it's literally the title of the song. It's like the beginning of being an adult is over, like, so. Mm-hmm. It's like you're starting to become an adult, what, like, you know, 18 to 21 is, like, the beginning of your adulthood. Yeah. I guess. And then, like, by the time you're 24, like, that kind of, like, you're starting to have to, like, actually, you know,
function.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it was a long time ago, and I don't know if I'm there yet, but
yeah, we're working on it.
The pressure is there, but also there's still that innocence and, like, not really knowing what's to come. And when you look back at yourself, which he also says later in the song, like, well, right in the chorus, that version of you. So, like, remembering, and I think this could apply to, like, any time when you're, like, looking back at another part of your life where you were somebody so different. Like, I feel like there's been so many, like, cycles in my life. Like,
they say that they're, like, yeah, you're not really the same person you were, like, say 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, even, so, like, 5 or 6 years ago, I feel like,
like, shedding skin like a yeah, lizard. Like, yeah, just your personalities change. You know, I think a lot of things happening in your life kind of changes who you are. And, like, that's how you are. Like, when I look back at when I was 24, night and freaking day, man. Like,
yeah. Mm. Yeah, I was still a baby. But, yeah, and he was too, I'm sure. But, like, also, I think a lot of people connected to the whole, when I'm back in Chicago, I feel it. So it's, like, not necessarily Chicago, but, like, everybody has, like, that place that you were when you were that age. And, like, if you go back to that place, or even just, like, think back on that time period, like, you can kind of, like, still remember who you were in that moment.
Yeah. And I like that he's clarified that, you know, Chicago to him is where he went to school. It's where he met, you know, a lot of his friends and stuff who he, you know, performs with. And that kind of was, you know, okay, he's done with school. Now what? He said, I was going on auditions. I was waiting tables. And like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be a city. It doesn't have to be a location. It could just be a time and place where you look back and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember who I was friends with, what was important to me, you know, what were my tastes, what were my dislikes. So that's, yeah, powerful line there.
All right, let's listen to the rest of the song.
Chills.
I know.
Chills. Every single time. Chills. I'm sorry, but, like, not to skip ahead, but when he goes, another version of me, I was in it, and then he goes, oh, like, he rock, you know, hits that note.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I love that even in the festival, like, he won't hit that note as he's doing it, but you'll hear everybody in the audience do the, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so adorable.
It's so good. So, like, you've got that second verse. The song has started now, and you're just finding out. Now, isn't that a laugh? That's one of the lyrics that is kind of hard. It was hard for
me. I've never heard that that's what
like,
it said.
Yeah, yep. Here. But it's like your life has started. Like, yep. And you're just figuring out that like, oh, like I need to, you know, continue. Like, and it's just, I think that now isn't that a laugh is like, isn't that ironic kind of thing?
Like, don't you think?
Yeah. Like you're the, well, and actually... there's a lyric in Half-Life, like, we're the last to know. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, you're the last to kind of find out things, like, and figure things out about your own life, I guess. Like,
yeah, and you always hear it from people who are older than you, just being like, get ready, one day it'll hit you, like, how fast life is going by. And I used to always laugh it off, and now I'm like, slow down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and also, I think we have, like, kind of... speculated a little bit that maybe he was talking about like that the fame that he would get from Stranger Things was that sacrifice that he was clueless yep. about at the time. But I mean, I think also that can kind of apply to anybody. Like you don't know what's going to happen. Like,
nope.
And what sacrifices that you're making, whether or not they're going to be worth it. But you just have to kind of like keep going.
And my favorite part of the entire song is enter Caroline, who I'm assuming is his sister.
He has a sister named Caroline, so yeah.
And he has said in interviews before she was kind of the one that like pushed him to get into acting and stuff. He was more of a jock and she was like, no, try out the drama department and stuff. So maybe, you know, there's always a friend or a family member, if you are lucky, that's kind of like your cheerleader, that's kind of like, no, keep going, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I just love the, clearly, just trust me, you'll be fine.
Which luckily she's showing me her tattoo here. Oh, I guess we have video of this. So
we do. So beautiful. Look, guys. And this is in Kiri's handwriting, but I always loved it. Just trust me, you'll be fine. It's something that I think, you know, we all, you know, unless you're an alien, I think have self-doubt. Anxiety, you know, you're second guessing yourself, you know, you're not too sure, you don't want to make that leap, you know, and as soon as you leave your comfort space, I always hear that's when you truly make progress. And maybe, you know, that was something that was told to him when he was worrying or spiraling, like, just trust me, you'll be fine, it will all work itself out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something like I know my late mother definitely would have said to me. So that's a very powerful line. I think it's almost like maybe if you're in the middle of a panic attack, not exactly what you want to hear, but it's actually words of reassurance, like everything's going to work out. So I just think that's such a pretty, pretty line in this.
Yeah, I love it so much. And I feel like I've had to work a lot on that, like my whole life, on like releasing some control over things that I can't control and just kind of having to have that trust in that like everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. And there's not much I can do. Like there's things I can do to adjust my life, but there's certain things that just aren't in your control, and there's no use in like constantly worrying. Like that's the struggle of like anybody who deals with anxiety. So I think that line is so relatable, and also it's just funny because this song will get stuck in your head, right? And like this is one of the parts that like would get stuck in my head. And I'm like, this is such a cool thing to have stuck in my head because it's such a positive message.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and to just have that be like repeating in my head over and over again. Like, it's like, yeah, it's going to be okay. Like, and I don't know, the past couple of years, that's been really powerful. So definitely really personal connections to this song. But then we have the chorus again, and like we didn't really talk about like we talked about the title, but like he does say, I wave goodbye to the end of beginning. Like we're kind of leaving that behind and just moving forward. And I mean, there's just so much like nostalgia in this song, and I feel like even in the sound and just like the it's like a cool beat, and like just like the layers of the sound and the voices and the harmonies. I really sometimes when I'm singing this song, like I'm like singing the harmony part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's really fun like to sing along to. But
yeah, it's got a great beat.
Yeah. And then the end of it, like this bridge at the end, is definitely my favorite part of the song as well. I have a lot of favorites apparently.
Love that for you.
But when we have like, you take the man out of the city, not the city out the man, that repeats over and over again and just builds up.
Against.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And I know that was kind of like used in a lot of like edits for that show, The Bear, which I never like watched, but I like feel like I need to. Like,
so good. But yeah. Again, anxiety.
Yeah. So, but then it like builds, and then the music cuts out and it's just his voice, and that
it's
part
so
is
crisp.
So cool. Yeah. It sounds amazing. And then it's just like that, like, you know, yelling kind of part, which is like really like
so
cathartic
good.
To like sing along to. So
when I finally get to hear this live for the first time, like, I'm gonna melt, because
yeah.
I'm just somebody like, I'm not to get too deep, but like, you know, concerts can be magic. Conventions can be magic. But I feel especially with concerts, when all eyes are on this one band, these musicians and these performers, and then everyone's singing along to the same thing, and you could probably hear that entire venue from miles away, like, just total chills.
I know.
And if you get it, if you know, you know.
Yeah. No, concerts are definitely, there's definitely a magic to live music. And I was listening to this in the car, like, to kind of prepare to do this episode. And I got like really emotional thinking about the fact that like, I'm going to be able to hear this live soon. And like, I'm going to be sobbing. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't even know how I'm going to handle it. Like, it's going to be so fun and so emotional. And like, luckily, and this is another thing about why I like to go to more than one show when an artist tours that I like, because I feel like there's less pressure to like have the whole experience at that one show.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people are only able to go to one show and it's going to be magic no matter what.
Yep.
But like, if you can, like, going to a couple shows is so cool, because like, it's like there's not the pressure to have all of the experience that first time. You're going to like be able to go again, and like things that you maybe missed or like just little extra moments, like, you'll be able to experience again. So I'm definitely excited for that. There's like not as much pressure to like have that magic experience in that one show. And I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, that's End of Beginning.
You know what?
Oh, it makes my heart like glow.
It's a banger of a song. And like, I have to admit, like, I was not really a big TikTok person. And finally, when I, you know, did start checking out the app, I would never get sick of watching edits of just them set to this song, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they would be talking about their childhood or, you know, their glory days or, you know, back in college or their house they used to live in as a kid or their past year. Like, nothing brought me greater joy than New Year's Eve, seeing all the edits of recaps of 2024. Remember 24? I was guilty of doing the same thing. And it was just so cool. It gave me chills that I was like, so many people, like celebrities, other musicians, they were setting their recap of 2024 to Joe's song. So well, well deserved, guys.
Yeah. And I guess that's a good transition, because this song did go viral because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Joe has spoken openly about like having gotten off of social media and limiting his access to social media, which I think is really healthy. And I think like a lot of us struggle with that, of like kind of living our lives online. And that is exactly what Half-Life is about.
Yep.
So let's get into that.
Let's get into it. All right. So Half-Life, I will never forget. You told me to check out like a few songs. One of them was Half-Life. And I remember I downloaded it instantly to my phone. And I'll never forget January of 2023 listening to it, him belt it out, and me being like, wow, chills. Like, he has such a great voice. But the intro, first of all, I don't even know what sound effects, what instruments were used, but the echoing, it almost sounds like radar almost, you know?
Yeah,
and
it's like
so cool.
I feel like it sounds like horror movie music almost. Mm. Like it's kind of like spooky. Then you get that beat drop and it like is more of like a poppy sound, but like it
starts picking up like like a synthesizer, which he does use a lot with a lot of these songs. But I do agree, very like horror movie coded. And just like right away, you should have seen me. This is the first time I've ever looked up these lyrics this morning. And I went, I fight the urge to search my name. And I went, oh.
Yeah.
And there's a better me, I swear, but the curiosity. And I think, and he's even admitted this in interviews, he's like, oh, yeah, you don't Google your name. Like, you just, you don't do it. Because, of course, we're all human, you know, and I can only imagine if you are in the entertainment industry, you're going to look yourself up. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, you're probably going to see and hear some stuff that is probably unsettling, probably negative, not great for your mental health. And he's probably like, you know, this is just speculation, but right away you're like, well, that's not me. This is only, you know, what the public sees in me.
Yeah.
And him saying, there's a better me, I swear. You know, like nobody really knows the real me. Right now the public knows, you know, and I hate to say it, but at the time, probably that's the dude from Stranger Things, you know?
Right.
And I think, like, you know, we only met him at a con, you know, like a few interactions. And we were like, he's such a nice guy. And I think just living in the public eye, it's so hard. And he was kind of like thrown into this because he wasn't a child actor. He wasn't a teen actor. He got into this in his 20s. And it was like nobody expected this show to do as good as it did.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Joe Keery is the reason why everybody loves Steve Harrington. We all know the story.
Absolutely.
That character was supposed to be one and done. And he's the reason why it had the huge arches and, you know, character development it did. But I can only imagine, you know, being a celebrity, being somebody in the public eye, everyone, there's paparazzi, there's people judging your every move, who you're dating, who you're involved with, how you're presenting yourself, how you act on the red carpet. That's being underneath a microscope. And especially, and this is why I don't judge people who are in the entertainment industry when they shut off the comments on their Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
I do not blame them for a second, because I would be that person. Curiosity would get the cat. And I'd right away be like, well, I want to see what people really think about me. And right away, words hurt. Sorry, we're all human. And
yeah,
you got to let it roll off your back, which I think he does perfectly. But there's a lot of unsettling, uneasy, and hurtful things on social media. So don't ever Google your name.
Yeah. And I think this song has that, like, vibe. It's very unsettling. It's, like, some, like uncomfortable, like, dark kind of, like, sounds and vibes. And, like, he also says, I let my ego get the best of me in the age of excess.
Yep.
Less may be best for me. So it's like,
how would you interpret
making
that
decision to kind of limit yourself of how much you're online, really, because it's like that age of like information overload where you can get on your phone and just have access to like hours and hours and like anything you want. And like sometimes you have to kind of like give yourself a limit and like detox a little bit from that, because it is like kind of doing something to your brain for sure.
Yeah. And he's like a few years younger than us, but he also grew up in a time before really social media took over, you know?
Thank
so he
goodness.
Knows what it was like before, thank God.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a lot, you know, like I gotta tell you, you know, I tell this story all the time, but you know, if you're going to put yourself out there, be ready and prepared for it. But I think that's such a healthy outlook, being like, oh, no, I need to limit this. I can't be scrolling and seeing all this toxic stuff, because it will affect your mental health. So I do like that.
Yeah. And God, it makes me sad. We're the last to know. It kind of like talks about like, I think that's kind of like what you were saying with like, you're kind of the last to find things out about yourself, kind of like when you're in the public eye like that. But also like the world is changing faster than we can control, like that
upgrading.
Like, you don't have control over it. Like there's a lack of control there. And I think like when you have anxiety, releasing that control over things is like is hard. But
and you can also look at it too. Like I said, he was probably the, you know, he's a millennial still technically,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
He, it kind of like shows like we're the last to know what life was like before social media.
Ooh, I love that.
You know, and I used to always do this to my dad. I'd always go, did you ever think when you were a teenager in the 70s that you would ever have a telephone you could carry around all the time that would also be a computer? And he's like, back then computers were the size of a room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, doesn't it blow your mind? I always used to love doing that. And he'd be like, oh yeah, it's crazy how far technology has come. There's good portions to it, but there's a lot of bad. So maybe we're the last to know what it was like to play outside and use our imaginations and not let this stuff get to us. But we're human.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's 5 years younger than me, and he's my brother's age. So, like, I always, like, remember exactly how old he is. But, yeah, it's very interesting. I like that interpretation.
So what is he, 4 years younger than me?
Yeah.
88, baby.
He's 92. He was born in 92.
He's a 90s baby.
So let's listen to the rest.
Here we go.
Called out.
Just sad.
But let's talk about the rest of that song.
Yes.
So, man, I have never noticed that, like, snap when it goes into,
you
like...
You were all about that snap.
Yeah. So it's like we've got... like a shift, like, and I love how many times, like, the songs on this album especially, like, just have this, like, really, like, this cut, and it's like there's not a transition really, and it's just like a switch into like a whole different kind of like vibe and like sound. But
like, it almost sounds like he's like freestyling, like, with how quickly he's saying the lyrics.
Yeah It's like kind of hard to like sing along sometimes because it's like it's so fast, but it like makes me want to know all the words so I can sing along. But this is cool too because he does a lot of different like effects on his voice, and I think sometimes it's meant to like represent different like either parts of himself or like outside influences.
Yeah.
And I had listened to the girls on the Swift Lore pod talk about Joe, and they talked about this whole album, and they were talking about this song and how this part of it kind of sounds like it's almost like an advertisement playing in the background. Mm. Like what does
fast.
It say? Sick of living in the old days. It's like a question mark. Like, are you sick of living in the old days? Mind burning by the old ways? Keep trying to forget about it. Watch a video, don't fret about it. Like, it is a little bit of a freestyle. Yeah. But like it's like the internet trying to like draw you in.
Yeah.
Like
advertisements, you know, pop-ups, literally boom, boom, ad. And it's almost like it's this, for people that get this reference, it's like the movie They Live, where basically, Megan, real quick, like a guy finds a pair of sunglasses and puts it on and sees that actually on all these billboards, there's just words like consume, you know, reproduce, buy.
Ooh,
and he notices that like the rich are actually aliens. It's actually, I think you would dig that movie.
Okay.
But I like that it's almost like, like, you know, right away, everyone's so heavy for the nostalgia. Everyone always thinks back in the old days, you know, like back when things were great. And I just love, you know, watch a video, don't fret about it.
Yeah,
you know?
And so easy to do. Like, it's so easy to use the internet and social media as like an escape.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, I do it. Like, I'm not going to like act like I don't. Like, it's like, and to some extent, I think it's okay. But like, you have to recognize that you're doing it and be self-aware enough to like know that like, yes, I'm kind of like self-medicating with my phone. But, and is there maybe some healthier ways that I could like deal with these things?
Exactly. And I love that he was like, and now I see I let these people get their hooks in me.
Yeah.
Like I said, and I always give, you know, this advice to people, and I think it's just, it's taken a long time for me to feel this way, but you got to let it roll off your back. You got to grow thicker skin. Easier said than done. Words sting and stuff. People can suck. But, you know, I can only imagine people watching him under a microscope, you know, especially, and I hate to say it, some fans, you know, some people in different fandoms and communities that don't realize that their words, their criticism, you know, maybe the only things that they care about actually do hurt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sorry, and this is just my opinion. We get it. He has a nice head of hair. I have a nice head of hair. You have a nice head of hair, Megan. But if you're asked about it every single interview, it gets a little repetitive. It gets a little old. And he has always said that he will always love Stranger Things. They are like family to him. He will always love Steve Harrington. He's the reason that character became who it was. But after a while, like, instead of just wanting to really hear what he wants to, you know, say, just, oh, can I touch your hair? Can we talk about your hair? Like, it becomes so superficial. And yeah, it becomes kind of old and tiresome. And, you know, right away he's saying, like, I let them get their hooks in me. They're starting to make me sell, you know, like, question myself, you know, am I just, and I hate to say it, am I just a pretty face? Am I just a head of hair? You know, no, clearly we know he's much more than that. But, at, you know, for a while, I think that if you were to look at all of these fan things, then after a while, you'd be like, oh, my God, is that how they just see me? Like,
yeah. And I think that this next part really can apply to anybody, too, because it's like, well, first of all, he says, I consider myself a fool, like, which that he has a whole song called Fool. So I like the different little like things, themes throughout the album that kind of repeat back. But then he's kind of like talking to himself, like, God, you're a fool. You think these people really care for you. You think you really think they will be there for you, plugged in. That's a half-life. And that's like, anybody who's kind of just like living their life online and like not really like just having those like quote unquote followers online, like that they're not really going to be there for you in any real way. Like, like there is a lot to like creating community and making real connections that can happen online. But like, if you're not actually putting effort into like connecting in authentic ways, like, and just like kind of thinking that your followers are your friends and your support system, like, or your fans, if you are like a, like an actor,
somebody in the spotlight.
Like, and that's how you got to look at real life. And like, you need to make sure that you're putting some effort into your friends and family and your offline as well.
Yeah.
The unplugged part of your life.
And like the haters online too. Like, do you think they're really, you know, going to care for you? Will they be there for you? You know, so it's a double-edged sword. The people who are obsessed with him and just love him for this character, you know, yes, there's a lot of good in that, but there's also a lot of like unhealthiness where, you know, they could turn your back on you at any second. I think he's acknowledging that. And he's saying like, I got to not let these people affect me as bad, especially the negativity that's out there. So like you said, you know, plugged in, that's a half life. When you're always on your phone, you're not living in the moment. And I think a perfect example of this, and I will be guilty of this.
Yeah,
I will probably be taking photos and footage at the concert, but I'm not going to be constantly watching the concert through my phone. I make it a habit to not do that.
Yeah,
because you're missing a live performance, first of all. 20 million other people around you are taking the same exact photos and footage. Nothing's wrong with taking a little footage and some photos. I much appreciate the people that are doing it right now because this content is great.
Yeah.
But you got to live in the moment. And there is a line in Basic Being Basic, like, I just want friends that will have my back. Like, I think he's like, he grew up like a, no pun intended, a regular Joe, you know, and he knows what it's like to have good friends and actually live in the moment. So it's him almost saying like, put the phone down. Stop paying attention to this because it's all silliness. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, okay, so I want to talk about two things. So this last part, like, this is the part where I was like, we're a little called out, but like, we are we're sitting here doing this. We're talking about him like we know him. We don't know him. We have interacted with him like a fraction of like time, like a tiny amount of time. And we did get good vibes from him during that interaction, but like, we don't know him. And everybody that's like kind of fans, like, we say how much we love him, but like, we don't actually know him. And that goes for anything, like with like people who are in the spotlight and people who like are online. So it's like it's just all a kind of little hear. Yeah, like it's just that little, and I love again how it's a different little sound effect on his voice during this part because it's just like this droning voice like in the background. Like
it's almost like what he hears in his head from what yeah. all of these people online are saying. I know you. I love you. I need you. You complete me. I yeah. adore you. Which I was like, Megan, we should just say the next time if we ever are lucky enough to meet him, I adore you. But like, I think he seems so laid back and nice, and he was nice to every single person we met. But like, I'm sorry, like after a while, it does get a little creepy, I'm sure, yeah. you know, like instead of just wanting to hear what he has to say or, you know, how are you doing today? Instead, I love you. I adore you. You complete me. Like, we've yeah. all seen Misery, like, Dirty
I've
Bird.
I've never seen it.
Oh, God damn it, Megan.
So anyway, the other thing I really liked that you said was about like being at the concerts and like yeah. that's another reason I like to go to more than one show because like I feel like I can like record like certain parts at different shows so that I have
and
time to like
be on
in
your
the
phone
moment.
The whole time. Yeah. yeah.
And I think like yeah, and then there's also like you can kind of like record but still like not watch it through your phone. But also like sometimes I think the people that are on stage just want to like be seeing your face.
They
want to
see your face. They
want to interaction,
see you singing
not
along.
Like yes, like behind a phone. So
did you love the footage of him at last night's concert watching what's it, Charlie
XCX?
He literally has a digital camera and he just, first of all, I think it was so cool that he was just dancing in the audience with all the fans, but he just, sent it to Megan and I go, he is a millennial. Look at him with his digital camera. And he just holds it up, snaps a photo and just lowers his arm. And I'm like, see, we got to learn by Joe. Bring yeah. his digital camera.
See, he's not even on his phone. He's taking digital camera photos, throwing it back to
yeah,
the old
love
days.
That.
But then you would lose your camera. My poor friend, she lost her camera one night when
devastating.
We were out.
Devastating. You gotta yeah. have the little wrist strap to it.
Yeah, yeah. That's life before smartphones, man. But, all right. Well, that was so fun. And we'll do this again soon.
Yeah, this was a blast. And I can't wait to keep dissecting more songs of his and just talking about his music because I am just discovering more and more stuff. And I'm really looking forward to doing this series with you, Megan.
Yeah, so we're going to do it together and then maybe sometimes have other people on to chat with us. And mm-hmm. we will kind of just do this to get excited for the tour and the new album and hopefully continue once the new album is out so we can kind of break down those new songs too. That'll be really fun.
Can't wait.
All right. Peace out.
Peace out.